All right, we're going to go ahead and get into our Bibles tonight. The book of James tonight. The book of James, chapter 2. I hadn't really preached through a book in a while, so I started doing this, and I'm doing it Sunday night and Wednesday night. Just go to the next passage. I've never done that before, but we are now, okay, with this. By the way, I was just wondering, is Hot Point still in business? Does Hot Point still make anything? So your freezer lasted longer than they did. That's amazing, isn't it? I was just wondering about that. Got you wondering now. James chapter 2, we'll go ahead and get into this tonight. James is like Proverbs in that he deals with a lot of practical things. It's a very practical book. He deals with where life is. And he can jump from one subject to another. So it is a lot like the Old Testament book of Proverbs. And James being, of course, the brother or half-brother, if we say, of the Lord, deals with a lot of things. Well, tonight we're going to look at the first 13 verses of chapter 2. And we're going to preach on something that really truth. Let's see what the Bible says, but it's a sermon we don't need, I'd like to think. I'm going to preach on discrimination in the church. It's coming right out of the Bible. We're going to look at what the Bible says, but hopefully, again, it's a problem we don't have. Amen, right? It may be one day, so we'll go ahead and take care of it tonight. Amen, so it doesn't become one, right? No, seriously, let's just go through the verses to begin with. Let's stop and pray, and then we'll just go through these verses, all right? Father God, and direct us tonight. Give us your power. Show us something from your word that'll help us. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "My brethren," so he's speaking to the church, "have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." Now, I like the fact that James did not introduce himself in this book as the brother of the Lord. He introduced himself as a servant of the Lord. And here, whenever he brings Jesus up, he just has to pause and say, he's the Lord of glory. He grew up with him on this earth, but he got a glimpse of who he truly was. Amen? But don't miss what he said here, though. He says, "Brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons." And then he gives the illustration, verse 2, 4. "If there come into your assembly or your church a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and then come in also a poor man in vile raiment," the word vile really means dirty, "and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing." Can we say the word gay is different today than it was then? It just means he has costly clothing or nicer clothing. So this man comes in with the nicer clothing, and you say unto him, "Sit thou here in a good place," and say to the poor, "Stand thou there," or "sit here under my footstool," or, you know, "pull up a floor over there," okay? Verse 4, "Are you not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith?" Now, I was preaching on that in chapter 1, that when he talked about money there, and some poor people are actually rich people in God's sight because they're rich in faith. Amen. And that's what he says right there. And you might say, I'm in that category. But he says, "Hearken." That means pay attention. But notice what he said in verse 5. "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen?" Who is God chosen? God's chosen the poor. God's chosen the poor in spirit, the person who knows they need him, right? And that's God's choice right there. "Rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him." Verse 6, "But ye have despised the poor." Apparently it was a problem in the church. And then he said, "Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat?" So in other words, he says, why are you catering to the rich when they're the ones that's been giving you problems? There were some issues, persecution going on. I said whenever I preached in chapter 1, I said, I don't mind rich people because they've always given me jobs. Amen, right? So rich people are okay, that's fine. But he said here, he said, you're catering to a class of people that have been causing you problems. Why are you even, doing this? So in other words, he's just saying it doesn't make sense. You trying to get on their good side like you are and ignoring other people. All right, verse 6, but you have despised the poor, did not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats. And look at this. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? Does it bother you at work when somebody talks bad about your Savior? It ought to. Does it bother you at school or out in public when somebody talks bad about Jesus, your Savior? Amen. That ought to bother us, right? Hey, don't talk about my Lord like that. Amen. I love the Lord. I'm going to speak up for the Lord. You're trashing my Savior. He said, look, these people are, a lot of them are doing this, and you're still catering to them. Verse 8, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. We preached on the word last week. He talked about the perfect law of liberty in the first or the end of chapter 1. And then verse 13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. I think he's just saying there, when you're the judge, when you stand before Christ, getting mercy will be more enjoyable than getting judgment. And that's true today, amen? If you get mercy from the Lord, isn't that always more enjoyable than getting chastisement from the Lord, amen? That's just common sense right there, but it's also Scripture there. So he's talking about having respect of persons. Now again, we're just going through it, so I actually thought about it, so maybe I'll just sort of, brush over this and move on to the next section about faith, but we're here, we'll go ahead and talk about it tonight. I said I trust we don't need, it's nothing we don't need. God's given us love among the brethren and unity in the church, amen? And we certainly like that and enjoy that and want to keep that. So we'll probably enjoy talking about other churches tonight, amen? How about that? We'll talk about other people tonight. No, seriously, we know the Word of God is profitable always. Amen? So it seems to have been an issue there in the early churches that he was writing to. It was again, he dealt with practical issues there and problems that were showing up in the church of the day. And these problems still show up in churches today. These problems are still oftentimes in our heart. And in this case, it was preferring or catering to one group and ignoring or neglecting another group. We like those visitors because they look great, but those visitors over there, hope they don't come back again. I mean, that's terrible to say, but that's about the attitude that he's addressing there. And I'm afraid we've seen some of that in churches before. I've seen it over the years, unfortunately. I've even seen pastors that were guilty of kind of wanting certain quality of folks in their church and maybe not others. And that's a terrible thing to have to say. I've been on vacation before and I'd walk in and I'd have on my suit and tie and Miss Maria with her dress, and our boys were young back then, and they'd get all excited. Here's a brand new family. And I'd say, no, we're from South Carolina. We're just on vacation. And then they dropped us like a hat. But anyway, I'm kidding. But no, seriously, you see stuff like that sometimes. But anyway, don't take that wrong. But it's hard to believe when we know James and Jesus both taught on just loving everybody that there's this problem that goes on of caring about one group over another, or as James said, having respect of persons. All right, let me just give you about three practical points. Number one, and by the way, I'm trying not to James can be a tough book. I'm trying not to complicate it and trying not to get bogged down in certain things. Trying to keep it simple and just get an overview of what he's talking about. All right. So let's look at this. Number one, tonight he says, don't play favorites. Don't play favorites. Now, we know that's in the Bible with The patriarchs, they played favorites among their own children. That's not a good thing, right? Don't play favorites. I always say, parents, you're going to get accused of it anyway, but just don't make sure you're not doing it. Amen? Well, so-and-so's the favorite. That happens in every family. But we don't want to do that in respect of persons. So again, they were esteeming, seemingly perhaps, people that were rich or gifted or talented. They got special treatment when they came into the church, and other people got neglected. Now, that upset James. You know why that upset James? Because he knew Jesus very well, and he knew Jesus wasn't like that at all. Right? I mean, he says God has chosen the poor, and he's like, I know who Jesus ministered to. And I know, and he ministered to all people, but you know you can only reach the reachable. And teach the teachable. And whenever he talked about those that are that are sick, they're the ones that need the physician, right? Those that are not sick, they're not calling the doctor. In that case, the Pharisees didn't feel like they needed Jesus, so he said, I can't help them, right? But I can help the poor guy who knows he needs me. I can help the blind man who knows he needs healing. That's what the Lord was talking about there. Those that would be receptive to what he was teaching. And of course, you know, Jesus gave the story of the Good Samaritan. And when the Lord did that, the Samaritan was the good guy, and the Pharisees and those religious elite Jews got very upset because they didn't like Samaritans, and yet Jesus made the Samaritan the hero of the story. That rebuked them right there. That stung right there for them. Now, Warren Wiersbe just made a couple of good comments. He said, don't cater to the rich and ignore the poor. And then he says, we need to see people in terms of character, not clothing. Y'all believe that? That's good. Amen? And that's certainly what we need to be doing there. So Jesus taught the disciples to love all people and treat everybody the same without respecting. In Ephesians 2, the Bible says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Lord always, you can go on and on and on, the Lord always taught us to love and love everybody. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons, right? So again, James is just dealing with something that he was seeing in the churches of the day. He's writing predominantly to Jewish people. It says they're scattered, but I think they're in local churches. They're mostly Jewish in nature, these people. Thankfully, he went into his own received him not. That was the religious elite. Thankfully, a lot of people did believe and get saved, amen, in that day. And so he's writing to these churches, and he's hearing, he knows this is a problem. It grieves him. So he addresses it, and he says, hey, don't play favorites. Jesus died on the cross for all people, everybody and anybody. Aren't you glad of that today? Whosoever will. I'm glad that's me. You know, when I was born into a poor family, but I thank God he saved my dad when I was just a baby and changed the course of our life. I know that. Thank God for it. Amen. Just love all people. Now, one commentator put it like this: cliques hurt people. I don't know if we use that word anymore in church. You know, cliques, little group here, little group there, little group over there. Everybody hanging out with their crowd, right? He said, cliques hurt people. If there's going to be a clique in the church, it ought to be just one big clique with everybody clicking together. Amen. That's pretty good. I like that right there. Amen. That sounds like Liberty Baptist Church. Amen. Don't ever let it be us four no more, right? And that kind of spirit and attitude. All right, so don't play favorites. Let's go to number two is this. He said, follow the royal law. Now, that's interesting there in verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law, according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Now, that is not the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have others to do unto you, although that is a great one, right? We call it the golden rule. But here, James called the command to love others as your brethren, he called it the royal law. Well, it came from the King of Kings, and it is the King of Commands. Amen, right? Is that a good reason, probably, to call it the royal law? The King Jesus gave it to us, and it is the King of Commands. If the church had love for all people, not just some people, it could be far more effective. Y'all believe that? If churches had love for everybody, not just somebody's, churches would be more effective. And that is the way Jesus wants it, right? And that's the way the Lord wants it to be here. So James is addressing that. Now, you remember God condensed all the commands down to 10, right? And James brought a couple of them up. He boiled all the law down to the 10 commandments. And then what did Jesus do? He took it down to 2. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love God and love your neighbors yourself. I mean, honestly, folks, if we do those two things right there, we love God with all our heart and we love everybody else like we ought to, you don't have the stories. If the world did that, you don't have the bad news stories. You don't have these mass attacks that we're seeing all the time. You don't have people hurting one another, gossiping about one another. You just don't have it. Why? Because we love God, we don't want to displease Him, and we love people, and we don't want to hurt them. That just covers everything. Amen? So Jesus wisely boiled it down to that. Simply loving God and others, it'll help us do everything else God wants us to do. So He said here, follow the royal law. So love shows true discipleship. Now we know what Jesus said, John 13, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. That's the command. By the way, did you know love is not an emotion that you fall in and out of? Love is a choice. People get married, they say, I do. I make the choice. Love is a choice that we make. I believe love is a commitment that we continue, right? And love is the command we obey from God. The world needs to learn this, folks. Instead of a love being an emotion that comes and goes, no, it's a choice, it's a commitment, right? Now, and not just in marriage. Do you love God the way you ought to every day? You got to make that choice every day, right? We make that choice to love God, to continue to love God, and to love others, and to continue to love others. And sometimes folks are going to make it hard to do. We understand that, but it's a commitment that we continue and a choice that we make and a command that we obey. So the Lord said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as, He's the example, as I've loved you, that you love one another. Second time He said that. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Third time He said that. But He said, if you love everybody and you love one another as brethren in the church, no matter your status in the church or no matter your status in society, by this shall everybody know that you're my disciples. Why? That's what Jesus is like. He says, as I have loved you. To love other people, to love everybody, that's to love like Jesus loves. Now, we talked about it, if you will, back up to chapter 1, the last two verses. Chapter 1, 26. Just a reminder. He said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. That's all he's got is religion. He claims one thing, but he doesn't really practice what he preaches. Verse 27, pure religion. Now, I think that's true salvation. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep unspotted from the world. Now, we like that unspotted from the world. Hey, you ought to live right. But before that, He said, you ought to love everybody and treat everybody right, especially those less fortunate than yourself, widows and orphans, right? He said, that's true religion right there. He said, that's real Christianity, amen? That's the royal law. We all good with this tonight, amen, right? We believe that. That's what He's saying right there. It shows true discipleship. Y'all know the story of Gandhi, and Gandhi decided one day he would go to the Christian church because he was in search for truth. So he went to the Christian church, and somebody kind of mistreated him and told him to go back and be with his own crowd, his own people. And he left there, and he decided that day, I guess I won't be a Christian. The Hindus are nicer to me than they are. That's a terrible story. But that was his story, right? And what happened to him? There's a story of a prominent judge that joined a church one day, and several joined the church that day, and One of them was a man that kind of was like James described here, poor and vile perhaps. And that man, they all came up and he stood over here. The others went and stood over there as far away as they could. That prominent judge noticed it, so he went right over here and got right with that guy. Let him know, hey, I'm here with you. And which was a rebuke to those that didn't want to get close to that guy. That's how Jesus was. Amen? Y'all believe that? That's how Jesus was. We see it over and over and over again. That is the love and the humility of Jesus. All right? So first of all, don't play favorites. Don't do that in any setting. Try not to do that. Try to be careful with that spirit, the attitude that plays favorites or respects persons. Follow the royal law. Love others. Love others, your neighbor, as even yourself, right? Isn't that what he said? Thy neighbor is thyself. Why thyself? Because you love you more than you love anybody else. And you ain't telling nobody. You're lying if you say different, right? You love you as much as you love anybody. He said, love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. We understand that. We know that. We get that. I mean, we're all about, you know, me and my life. But he said, love your neighbor. And Jesus taught neighbor. That's pretty much anybody. All right, let's talk about this. Number three is this. We're all lawbreakers. I could say this. We're all sinners saved by grace. Now, verses 8 and 9. He said, but if you have respect, verse 9, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. In other words, we've all sinned. For all have sinned, right? There's none righteous, no, not one. You say, well, I try to keep the commandments. The truth of the matter is, you haven't kept the commandments. Nobody has kept the commandments. You say, well, I've kept most of them. He said, be guilty of one. Have you ever in your life bear false witness? Tell a little lie? We call it a little lie. Little white lies didn't count, right? No, it was a little lie. It was a lie. It was a big lie. It was a dirty lie, right? It's a lie. God is truth. Satan is a liar. Anyway, we know that we've all... I've never really had a hard time out witnessing convincing people that you're a sinner. There's a few out there that don't seem to know it, but most folks understand I've done something wrong at least one time in my life. And James said, if you've done it once, you're a sinner. And we know we're all in that category. We know we've done it more than once, right? But he made a good point there that we're all lawbreakers. So who are we to judge and who are we to look down our nose at another person as if they're vile and they're sinful and they're terrible and I'm on a different level? We're being respecter of persons. When the truth of the matter is, we're all sinners who need to be saved by the power of the blood. Amen? That's the point he's trying to make. What do they say? The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Right? Jesus spilled His blood on that cross for whosoever will. All of us. Amen? That's all of us. So we've broken the royal law. We've broken many others. You know, I think sometimes people act as if to be poor or to be less fortunate is a sin in itself. I preached on it in the first chapter. We're all pretty much... I said it's okay to be average. The majority is just the blue-collar working folks, right? That's the majority. But let's not treat it as a sin if somebody's poor. I mean, it's their own fault. You know, I've done better because I'm smarter and I've done better. I work harder. Let's be careful. Don't let pride sink in. Amen. That's a sin too, right? Remember, we don't need this, okay? So don't get mad. But sometimes we act like that. Or people do. But we're all sinners who just need to stop putting our own sins in the respectable category. I'm not a sinner like they are. I'm not a sinner like that person is. You know, we had Dr. Lou Rossi here years ago. He came and preached for us. He's back in evangelism, by the way. But I heard him the other night, and he was talking about he said, boy, my testimony. God saved me out of, boy, it was such a wretched life of sin. And I did everything you can imagine. I got involved in everything there was. Maybe it wasn't him. Maybe it was somebody else. But anyway, so boy, I did all of that and got gloriously saved at the age of six. You know what happens there is, well, I was raised in church. I never did nothing bad. And now sometimes we feel bad if I didn't kill somebody and have a great testimony. Truth of the matter is, if you were saved at the age of five or six, you were still just as much a sinner as the other one, right? So we have to be careful about, well, I'm not as bad of a sinner. Who goes to hell? A sinner, right? Well, my unbelief isn't as bad as his. Why do you go to hell? Unbelief. And we all got it, right? So we all need to understand that we need to turn to Christ. So sin is sin, he says. One sin is just as bad as another. Quit putting it in a category that I have respectable sins and you have bad sins. And that is a lie of the devil today. You know, when I get to heaven, he's going to find out I wasn't so bad. And he'll let me in. And that is not the gospel. For all have sinned. There's none righteous. No, not one. We all need salvation and forgiveness from our sin. Somebody's going to pay for your sin. It's either Jesus on the cross or you in hell. Somebody's going to pay for your sin. Doesn't matter the amount of sin. It's just the fact of sin. That we're all sinners. And James says we're all lawbreakers. So let's quit looking down on other people as if we're something better. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. Just sinners, right? Just a sinner saved by grace is what we're. That's all we can claim. Jesus said if you could, or the Bible says if you get to heaven based on your good works, you're going to boast about it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And you're going to brag on how you got there. No, the truth of the matter is, we're all going to say, I'm here by the blood of Jesus. His blood washed away my sins. His blood covered my sins. That's the only reason I'm here. I know what I deserved. That's grace. Amen? That He forgave us of our sin. Now look, once you get saved, you ought to try to be the best Christian you can be and all that. But it's still not a contest. Amen? Right? It's not a contest. Who's the better Christian today, and who gets the best Christian of the Week award? No, let's all just serve the Lord, right? And be grateful for grace and not allow pride to sneak in our hearts. So James is dealing with this and telling us that we're all sinners here and we need to be careful and we need not to have this discrimination against anybody else. Love all people. I'm glad Jesus loves me. I'm glad Jesus loves you. Well, preacher, who should I witness to and invite to church this week? Anybody you get the opportunity to, right? Doesn't matter who it is. Jesus died for them. He loved them, right? You know, our church, I think, is pretty, I don't know, is diverse a good word? All different backgrounds. But, you know, I think that's what heaven's going to look like. People from everywhere, all walks of life, and just all were sinners who needed to be saved. And we're all going to go to heaven, and we're going to praise the Lamb that was slain. That's why we're there. So down here on this earth, James is just talking about, don't have respect of persons like that. Just have a heart of love. Be grateful. You know, hey, He'll save you too. He'll save you too. If He saved me, He'll save you too. You know, when I'm witnessing to people, I try to drive home the point, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. You got to know you're a sinner. You know, but I always say, just like me, right? All I'm here to tell you is I'm a witness. I'm a sinner, but I put my faith in Christ and He forgave my sin and He'll do the same thing for you. You're not saying the better than thou attitude. No, that's what James is dealing with right here. We're not saying, well, I'm better than you. I'm going to heaven because I'm better than you. No, I'm a sinner too who needed the Savior. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And that's why whenever he got into this, he talked about the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, don't have respect to persons. If you're going to have a respect to anybody, let it be the Lord of glory, Jesus. He said, let's lift Him up, not ourselves, and not cater to one crowd and put down another crowd. He said, that's not Jesus. That's not even Christianity. Let's all just love everybody, pray for everybody, give a gospel tract to everybody, hope anybody and everybody get saved, right? I'm just a nobody telling everybody about somebody that'll save anybody. That old thing right there, amen? I mean, Jesus was the Lord of glory, yes, but He was the most humble. And James saw this firsthand. He grew up with Him. He knew He was meek and humble and laid aside the glory of heaven to take on the form of a servant and to give His life a ransom for many and whosoever would believe. So James was just saying, hey, let anybody's welcome at your church, amen? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? That's what he's talking. That's what he's dealing with. And it's very practical, again, book that James gives us here, and so many things that he covers. So let's go out this week and just have a heart of love. And look, when you look at somebody this week, you know what you need to say? That's a soul for whom Jesus died, just like He did for me. Right? That's a soul. That's somebody Jesus died for. That's somebody Jesus loves. That's somebody that I could see in the pearly gates and on the street of gold. Because I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and so can they be, right? And love all people. And may we do that. And the only one we have respect for, who James gave respect to, was the Lord of glory. And not to have respect of persons in a bad... He's talking about in a bad way, obviously. I think we understand what he means there. So may the Lord help us to have that right spirit and attitude like Christ. Aren't you glad all that come to Him, He will in no wise cast out? Well, you can't come. What was that story about D.L. Moody tried to get into a church and they told him to pray about it? He finally, after they were trying to get rid of him, you know, and early in his days, and he said, well, I did pray about it, and God said he can't get in here, and so I don't need to either, right? So we definitely don't want to be that crowd in that church, amen? Jesus is welcome, and He welcomes all others, amen? So let's thank God for it. Let's bow our heads tonight, please, and ask the Lord to just help us learn something here tonight. Just a reminder of what God wants His church to be. Open arms to any and all. Dear Father, I thank You for Your Word. I hope what we said tonight, Lord, will be a help and a good reminder. But Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us, God. If we need to repent, the world will repent. Lord, we'll deal with that. If there's somebody we need to go to and make amends with, we'll do that. But Lord, just help us tonight, whatever the needs might be. Lord, if there's one that's lost and God, that You died for them, they need to be saved. I pray You'd tug on that soul now, that they'd be saved. Lord, meet the needs of this congregation, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, and music plays, and this altar is open if you want to come tonight.